Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Unity, the free personal media server. Unity makes it easy to access and stream all the files and media stored on your computers from your mobile devices. To download Unity for free, visit getunity.com/AAA. That's getunity.com/AAA. Hello, and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 263, recorded on Tuesday, April 26th, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And hello, I am Florence Ion.
Hello. I like hit a speed bump there
at the very end. Yeah, and then it threw me, the rhythm got off, and it was like, oh, you weren't here last week. I was sitting there. We had a guest. It's all different.
It's all strange. Yeah. I was like running.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there was no road in front of me, right. And I had to figure it out.
It's okay, though. You made it.
Whew,
you made
it. Man, we did it.
And you survived. We did it. And you survived NAB. Welcome back.
Yeah, NAB was fun.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
And you didn't bring us anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
What would you like? Not a snow globe?
I mean, like a snow globe. You were in Vegas. Yeah. So that would have been nice. You
okay.
know, a snow globe with a casino inside
a t-shirt.
Of it or something.
Yeah.
Some sort of magnet, maybe.
Or okay.
Or a keychain.
A bottle opener.
I would even go
a keychain.
Keychain
bottle opener would be nice.
Those are actually pretty great.
Yeah.
Right?
And I have one, and I've had one for years, and I agree. I dropped the ball. I should have got you a keychain bottle opener. Next time I'm in Vegas, it's probably going to be next NAB, so you'll have to wait a year.
But I promise you,
you'll get a keychain bottle opener.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks. You guys did awesome. It's good to be back, and we have no guests today.
We're solo.
So
let's
go take a look here. I think that it's been a really long time since we had no guest. I'm going to find out right now, looking at my trusty document. According to this document, it's been since January 2015.
Wow. I feel like January was yesterday.
And that was
2015.
Because, and that 2015.
I wasn't even on.
You weren't even born yet.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. I was still a little worm.
The reason that was not, there was no guest is because that was Gina Trapani's last episode.
Oh, yeah.
And so
we kept it kind of
quiet. The very next episode was Florence Ion's introduction to All About Android. And that was January 20th, 2015. So there you go. A little look back in time. Going to go back in time. And there you go. But we've got a lot to talk about this week. Things like Google's antitrust charges in the EU. Things like Google I.O. sessions and Google Play Awards show. The HTC 10. Not the WeBoost Eco. We'll talk about that another time. How Chrome OS is probably about to get Google Play support, store support, rather, and a whole lot more. But Brian, man, it's good to be back. Give us the news.
Jason and I survived NAB, and I also forgot to get a gift for anyone.
Oh.
But here's Android news.
See, I thought I could depend on Brian. I thought that, you know, Jason's busy, he's going to forget, but Brian's going to remember me.
I know. I got so many keychains, too, but, you know, I'm going to keep them. So.
I don't know. Brian sent me Snapchats, so...
This is literally reliving my childhood, by the way. Like, sitting on the stairs waiting for Dad to come home from the business trip, what'd you bring me? And he's like, ooh. Just grumbles and walks by. And
you don't get one. You know what my dad bought me, or brought me home one time?
A rock.
The big storybook edition of E.T.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it was awesome. For some reason, that's just, like, stuck in my brain. And I actually saw it at a bookstore not long ago. Why did I not get it? I don't know. I should have.
For $8.95, you could have bought a piece of your childhood.
It's true.
My father used to come home with those with Toblerone.
That's a good one.
But in 1983, that was a big deal
because
you couldn't just get it anywhere.
Yeah,
so that was always a good one.
Can I tell you what my dad brought me? Lots and lots of Barbies.
Oh, that's a really...
I always got Barbies.
That's great.
Oh, that's very nice.
I'm going to have to remember this.
That's very, very
nice.
Because,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Dad. She's tearing up. Wow.
For all the Barbies.
It's getting emotional. Dang. All right.
I'm going to have to remember the Barbie
thing. Android.
All right, let's do that. All right, so let's get serious. Let's get real.
Oh, this is pretty serious.
The EU has filed antitrust charges against Google's Android OS with a focus on how Google requires OEMs to agree to the placement of its services and its apps on installations of Android. In question is the fact that OEMs who agree to roll with Google's brand of Android are forced to comply with an order that prevents them from releasing an Android fork on any of its other devices. As well, services that come bundled with Android, they say, hinder competition from others who are offering similar services. That's according to the EU. They also have issues with kind of the financial incentives behind all of this, how Google kind of gives, you know, I mean, I guess kicks down some incentives to manufacturers or carriers who exclusively pre-install Google search on its devices. So, and by the way, this is not the first time we've heard of this sort of thing. It's happened not too long ago. I think it was like a month or two ago in Russia. The Russian government also called for antitrust and basically, oh no, it was last September, sorry, and found Google guilty of antitrust. And at the time, it was like, oh yeah, well, that's just Russia, whatever. EU is kind of a bigger story.
Well, yeah, it is a much bigger.
But is this also the Microsoftification of Google now?
Yeah, that's what I was, I'm always thinking when I hear these stories.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my gosh, it's such a political, like, such a political thing. This spans beyond, like, just technology.
The EU is crazy.
They're not crazy, but they think our government, you're not getting the EU's vote this week.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm not in any time soon. Okay, I get it, Europe. Websites use cookies. Like, I don't need that overlay every time I go to a European website. Like the
just so you know.
Yeah,
sir.
This site uses cookies. Like, whatever, dude. But I think that some of the antitrust stuff is good to keep the companies like Google and Microsoft and Apple in check.
Yeah.
But I think the EU takes it a step too far, as always. And then the question is that how the negotiations will be to dial it back or what the end result will be. But to be honest, if you look at what began the downfall of Microsoft, it was probably the EU legislation. It was the whole unbundling of IE and all that stuff.
Because how do you do it in one major area like the EU and have it not affect your business elsewhere? And that's a big consideration here. Often in this kind of argument or this kind of debate, people kind of fall back on the fact that, oh, well, Android, you know, it's not like Android's the only game in town. There's iOS, blah, blah, blah. Well, the EU actually sees Apple's iOS not as a direct competitor to Android. They say iOS is not a licensable operating system, and as such, Android owns 95% of the EU's licensed mobile OS market. And
I mean,
that's
that sounds
kind of
like a personal problem.
A big deal.
That's one way to skin a cat. Right? They're right. That makes sense. I don't know if I agree with it, but to quote the great Obi-Wan Kenobi, from a certain point of view, that makes a lot of sense. Right? So.
I don't know. I think I hate to say that I think there's a little bit of something here that the EU is kind of pointing out. And it's not like we haven't heard this for months leading up to this. But, I guess the other side of this is the fact that Android has an open source version of the OS that doesn't include kind of the Google apps and services. The fact that Google does offer that. Is that enough of a concession? Like, that's an option. That's an alternative for people who don't want to roll with Google's thing. But, I mean, they're prohibited to go that route if they decide on any other devices to go the official Google route.
I think it's perfectly fine concession because it gives the choice up to the manufacturers and the people that are making the software for their phones.
Yeah.
So it's really up to them whether or not they want to stick with Google or not. And, like, why wouldn't they let them stick with Google? There's more support that route.
Right. Well, and that's another big reason why Google says it does what it's doing. They released an update, a blog update, pretty much the same day that the charges came. And it basically said that manufacturers can choose to install their apps on these devices. So they're not keeping those apps off. But of course, their apps are there first and foremost. That the free state of Android is basically offset by including those apps and services on the devices. So they're able to actually offer it for free because those exist. They don't say this, but not to mention just the fact that a lot of people want Google services.
I want Google services over Apple services. Yeah.
Perspective. The perception I would imagine would be you would be hindering the potential success of your device if you don't. But maybe that's why it's an antitrust
thing to begin with. Do you penalize a company for doing something so well?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I know, that's always the that's always the
And
the
do
trick
you want,
like
awful knockoffs, like what's going on in China?
Right.
Because I am sorry, so I don't like the model of what's going on in China. With like, I'm not a believer of that market and what's going on with Android over there, and I would not want to see that happening in Europe.
Right, and is it because there's no viable other choice, and they're saying it's because of the antitrust practices, but let's say this all goes through, and there still isn't a, you know, like, it just doesn't make sense. It's not like there's some alternative that they're crushing. You know, like they're not keeping anybody from succeeding. Just
they are not keeping Apple from succeeding.
Yeah, they're just doing a very effective job. And I think, and honestly, I think that the distinction between iOS and Android, while from a certain point of view does make sense, is kind of BS too, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, because if you think about it, it's not like Microsoft is out there screaming that they can't get a foothold in Europe because of Android.
They're actually surviving because of the people that they have in Europe. They actually have a market in Europe that is somewhat flourishing for their few Nokia phones.
Yeah.
So, and even BlackBerry was like really strong in Europe for quite a long time. BBM was very popular among the youths.
And then everything changed.
But that's what happens if you don't innovate. Yeah. So maybe the EU should go, why do you guys suck so much?
Would a world...
Just kidding. Nobody sucks.
Stupid American.
That's a terrible thing to say. Nobody sucks.
Would a world where Google is forced to offer... to remove the clause that people, you know, that OEMs can release a device that has Google services but also release a device that doesn't? I mean, is that a bad world to live in?
No.
I don't think that's a bad world. I don't think that's a bad world.
That might be what we end up with.
I just don't know
if that's necessarily a horrible outcome.
Yeah. I just don't want to see something happen where Google will, like, lose too much control because of this, and then the entire platform is just completely forked into all
that's a big
and
part
it's
of what they're
just going to make it absolutely
saying.
Terrible.
What if when you're in Europe and you open up your phone, a window comes over telling you that this phone uses cookies and you have to close
it? Can we just do that? I'd be fine with that. If you want to pop up, that's fine. I'll deal with it. I already deal with permissions now on Marshmallow.
I know. I love the permissions. I love dealing with those. Because now I understand them when they appear, and I
deal
with them once, and then I move on. Yeah.
Yes, it's understandable, but then if you have an app that's, like, crashing a lot, and it's still, like, asking for permissions, but it keeps crashing because it's asking for permissions.
I actually just had that. I don't remember. When I was setting up the Robin, I had a phone ask me for – I had a phone. I had an app ask me for permissions, but it was, like – It was like a game or something. This wants access to your phone and your contacts. I was like, no. Like, I don't, like, it was weird. I should have noted what it was, but I forgot what it was because I'm old.
Yeah,
but
it happens more often.
But it was nice because I was able to say denied. Yeah.
All right, so.
We've got other really interesting news now. We've got a whole show of it.
I'm so glad we pulled out the interesting news this week as opposed to the boring news.
My transition, you know, I'm still working on those. But I got really excited last week when I saw the schedule for Google I.O. coming out. Now we get to talk about it, and I'm so excited. Yay. Have you guys had a chance to look through your schedules yet and, like, make little, like, fake itineraries for the day? Because I have.
I need to find time to do that. But
okay,
I found
time.
Well, and they've released, so I think they released like 100-ish things, and they say there's like another 100.
No,
they said there's
going to
be like another 100.
Oh, yes. And
which is crazy.
I'm envisioning, so get this, like all these places, like all these things are like at stages, so I'm envisioning it's going to be like the Coachella of Android devs. Everyone's going to have like flower crowns and like wearing suede vests, and there's just going to be like people dropping E all over. It's going to be like insane.
Dropping elevators?
Membrane.
Is that what you're talking about? Why are they dropping elevators on the ground?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
I was trying to make it sound ridiculous.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Yes, I've never been.
I've never been either, and I have no
intention
of going.
It's very, very ridiculous.
Thank you very much.
I'm kind of hoping that
this could be the next best thing.
End of first day is like, you know, probably going to be some sort of DJ. I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely.
The main stage.
Oh my gosh, what if they like bring on like Tiesto or something? That would
be interesting.
A huge Moby.
I mean, it would be a little different than Jane's Addiction a few years past.
Was Jane's Addiction a couple of years ago? I know they had cake 1 year. Or maybe I'm thinking of a holiday party.
Jane's Addiction
party.
Was like four or five years ago-ish.
This is a mock video of Google I.O. this year. It looks like it's going to be pretty.
This is what I imagine it would be, though. Just
this
a bunch
is Google
of developers.
I.O. Yeah. This is the way it's going to be.
Developers know how to party.
It's just going to like be like a little Vegas, a little desert. And I mean, Mountain View is kind of swampy. So the weather, I just have a feeling there's going to be people wearing shorts. In tank tops.
This is going to be the least productive Google I.O. ever.
I know. This is how are you supposed to be productive?
Miserable 3 days in Mountain View. Let me tell you. It's going to be...
Okay, but let's talk seriously now. let's talk about how the keynote is happening 10 a.m. on May 18th, which is a Wednesday, which Jason and I will be at covering, and
I'm dealing
with that whole shebang of news.
Yeah, be there.
The next thing is there's lunch.
Is the keynote 3 hours or 7 hours?
It's 2 hours. It says 2 hours, and it's two at hours. The amphitheater.
So. 2 hours, which means probably stick to 2.5.
No, it's going to be like...
I'm definitely in the Tom Merritt camp of let's have shorter keynotes, folks.
at 1 p.m. is when a whole slew of sessions start. So for
Assuming the keynote is over.
But for my schedule, I added there's a panel called 6 Degrees of Freedom, Gaming and Android with Project Tango.
So the very first session that they advertising is Tango.
Yes.
You can already kind of see VR, Tango, lines blurring because there's tons of VR throughout their sessions.
Yes.
VR is sprinkled throughout, and I have a feeling there's going to be more because they're going to announce those once they announce that that VR is baked into Android and this is the future.
Well, it's interesting though because in the panels, haven't they kept some sessions blank until it happens?
Yes.
You know, but here we already see a ton of VR.
Yeah,
right.
So so they're not giving it away. Like it's that, you know. Yeah.
Well, they're letting you see the VR that doesn't give away anything new. And then once they do the keynote, they pretty much flat out said, we're holding sessions that'll be revealed once the keynote is over.
Well, unfortunately, there's also a material improvements and what's new in Android. Somebody added one lap around the Google Cloud platform. I might have added that maybe in a state of...
You're like, Google Cloud, I'm
like,
love
Google
you.
Cloud, I'm so interested. Actually, no hate. It's cool. 2 p.m., you know, we've got stuff on Glass. Oh, actually, I'm just going through the whole schedule. This is not my agenda. I'm sorry about that.
I didn't know if you were just going to go through the whole schedule.
Yeah, no. We're not going to go through the whole schedule.
We're talking about the things we've highlighted?
Let me look at my schedule because I have highlighted a couple things.
I will note that I just did a quick search across all the sessions, and there is no mention of Chromecast in any of them, and there is one session on the last day at 2 p.m. called Bring Your Android App to Android TV in Minutes. And whether or not the panel is minutes or a full 2 hours.
That's going to be down in the code session.
Right. But I mean, we often...
So not a whole lot of focus on TV.
Yeah, the first thing I look for at I.O. every year is what are they doing in the living room? What is all this sort of stuff? But if there's nothing...
What's there left to do? They figured it out. They all got hockey pucks in our living room. We got it. We're here. It's there.
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's true.
I mean...
It's a good amount of people with Google Cast.
Or maybe
game.
Yeah.
If you're having an event at the Shoreline, you can't just talk about Chromecast. You have to talk about something interesting.
Your value of the Shoreline is much different than
that. I saw the Spice Girls and the Backstreet Boys there. Can you blame me? On May 19th at 9 a.m., there is actually a whole keynote, I would say. So this is what they did last year with ATAP. Is they had a keynote at 9 a.m. the day after the initial keynote. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people didn't show up because they were like, the big keynote's over. But there was so much newsworthy stuff there. That's where they announced like Project Jacquard, which was the techie gene fabric and all that. So this year at 9 a.m. we have VR at Google at the amphitheater. That's like the first big session of that day.
At the amphitheater. So this is where the photo opportunity of a sea of people standing there wearing VR goggles is going to happen.
And basically, the amphitheater, just so everybody knows, because obviously the Shoreline is a very like Bay Area thing. It's an outside music venue, and there's an amphitheater, which is where the stage is, and then it just goes up into this giant, like... There's a lawn behind a bunch of seats, so it's mostly outdoors except for the stage.
So that brings up another, which is not about the sessions, but a logistics question.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at an overview shot of it, and there's the whole thing.
Too. Yeah.
And I'm looking at the sessions, and there are stages 1 through 10. So are they setting up outdoor stages like in the parking lot?
That's
like,
why I was making a joke about being a music festival I know they have the Bridge School Benefit is at the Shoreline, and I believe that they... Do they have stages there, or...?
No, just in the... I think it's just the main stage.
Yeah,
okay.
Just the main stage, yeah.
Yeah, well,
I'm really curious what the logistics of this are going to be.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of nerds in... You know, they normally wear polo shirts or whatever, walk around. You know, like, it could get...
That's why I'm trying to think about how, like, they set up music festivals in the past, because I'm assuming that'll be set up the same way, but... At the same time, if you're a developer, do you really want to be sitting outside
right, that's what I'm talking about.
While your, going over code with the sun glaring down on you?
What is the Wi-Fi going to be like? Like, all this, man, Moscone really screwed Google by booking these dates
good
and
job,
not letting
Moscone.
Them do it.
Good job.
Right? They really, the impact of this is.
You should protest. While we're in Mountain View.
At Moscone.
You should protest. Hey, Google I.O. should be here Google instead. Not these doctors. What has these doctors done for anybody?
Tons of VR.
Yeah, VR and cinema.
VR and cinema. Google's vision for VR. Project Tango. Degrees of Freedom.
I got to tell you about a panel I'm really interested in.
What's that?
Quote, unquote, I'm just trying to survive. Ethnographic research on notifications and attention management.
Ethnographic.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. It's about, like, paying attention. I don't know. There's no, like,
it's about, like, paying attention.
But I'm assuming it's about paying attention.
The irony of that is very funny, by the way.
That's what I brought up, because I was trying to have you make a joke about it. But there we go. Bam.
Wow, and then there's a lot that are going to be announced from
startups
there.
Startups are succeeding.
Yeah, I feel like the schedule is very stocked, although I can't remember
a good drinking game
many simultaneous things last
year. Yeah, I know. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
A good drinking game is every time you see the word billion in a, getting ready
soon
for the next billion, building for billion.
Well, I feel like we surpassed the billion, and now we're like getting ready for the next
trillion.
For
the next billion.
Or whatever.
Or just 2 billion.
2 billion.
Well, I do know one thing that's happening that I plan on being at.
The Android platform Fireside Chat?
Oh, well, definitely that.
Yeah.
Because that's always fun. And they didn't have that last year, right? They
no,
didn't have the Fireside
that
Chat.
Really
so they brought it back, and that's a really great thing. Yeah. No, on Thursday, May 19th,
yes.
We're going to have the Google Play Awards.
Transition!
Yeah.
What is that? What do you do when you get a whole bunch of people together and you got a stage? You give awards.
Yeah, award show.
Awards. No, but over the past couple of years at Google I.O., they've always highlighted excellence in design and architecture and just apps in general. But this year, they're turning it up a notch. This year, they're starting the very first Google Play Awards, the 2016 Google Play Awards. And they've added 5 nominees inside 10 different categories were published to a collection on Google Play ahead of the awards, which are going to be held, as Jason mentioned, on May 19th at 7 p.m. And I didn't even look to see who the nominees are. Should we go through these or does it matter?
A lot of them have been on the show. I'm waiting for the day.
Yeah, here we go. Article. Okay.
Yeah.
So
Hopper, Dub Smash, Robin Hood.
Good job. Okay, here we go. So standout startup. Dub Smash, Hopper, Musical.ly, Robin Hood, or
how many of them
Verse?
Have been on in the app arena?
So I know. Well,
I don't think Musical.ly exactly. or Verse have. Anyway, yeah. Standout
the other show.
Standout indie. Alpha Bear, Altos Adventure, Fast Like Fox, Neko Itsumi, Kitty Collector.
Yeah.
And
wow, you were on
which,
to something.
Which, by the way, I've stopped playing. So
okay.
Because it's too popular now? Because it's an
no,
award
I found,
show?
No, I'm so in love with Pokemon the card game. Oh, okay. I can't even.
So Best Families App, Card Wars Adventure Time, Lego Jurassic World, My Very Hungry Caterpillar, Think Rolls 2, and Token Nature.
Card Wars by Adventure Time.
Here we go. Here's my favorite. Best Use of Material Design, Bring,
Bring's
Robin good. Hood, The Fabulous, Todoist, and Vivo. I'm going to skip down to...
we don't need to do them all.
Yeah, but. We don't need to do them all. Most Innovative, Fast Like Fox, NYTVR, Smart News, The Fabulous, and The War of Mine. Best App Overall. Okay, this is the big one.
These are like the Oscars.
This is the big one,
yes.
Right? BuzzFeed News.
Wow.
Colorfy.
Which is like a coloring app,
yeah.
Which must be good.
I mean, it was in the Play Store top app. For a long time.
Who's or How's or How's.
Houses, yeah. I think, is what I've been told. Houses.
Tune In Radio and Yumly.
Yumly.
Can we just quickly talk about how this is more of a media thing, but how BuzzFeed is in that?
Yes.
Because their app is designed really, really well.
But that's amazing.
Yeah.
Take note, media people.
So mm-hmm.
That's sweet.
So stay tuned. May 19th, 7 p.m. Be right up against your keyboard waiting to see the results as they roll in. And we get another award.
Do you want to live tweet it with me?
Yeah. I'm there.
Live tweet it.
I have a feeling we're going to be like, we're going to be like jumping around.
Do you
like,
have a picnic? I was thinking it would be nice
stuff.
To have a picnic
yeah.
at Google I.O.
Yeah.
I just got a new picnic set, like with the basket that like opens and has all the utensils. And
I have a picnic set.
You do too? You have dueling picnic sets.
I'll put an Android sticker on it. We'll do it up nice. Cool.
Imagining.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I agree.
I can't
so
wait
excited.
To go to the music festival.
Are we doing
that is
a
Google
show
I.O.
that day?
No.
It's the 17th, 18th, right? When is it?
Yeah, by the way, the awards are
the 18th, 19th, 20th.
The awards are the 18th.
Yep.
So are we doing a night before show?
Absolutely we are.
I'm sorry, the awards are the 19th.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't we?
On the 19th, yes.
So I.O. starts on the 18th, which is a Wednesday. The awards are at...
Thursday night.
Thursday night at 7 p.m.
The day before Mike Wolfson returns like the fourth or fifth year.
Our annual Mike Wolfson visit. I love it. Yes. I love Mike.
He's and great. Liam Spradlin's going to be in town, so he's going to come on as well.
Excellent.
So we'll have them on the show that day.
Cool.
So that's Google I.O. Many of you aren't going, so you're
We're just so excited.
I'm going to be in San Francisco drinking.
Good alternative.
And protesting.
Good alternative. Hey, let's thank a sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Unity. Unity is a free app that unifies the media that you have and lets you basically seamlessly stream and access all those video files, photos, music files, documents that are stored across all of your computers and your mobile devices. All your files are kept secure and private on your own devices. No clouds or middlemen involved. Setup is quick. It's easy. No network configuration or ongoing management of any kind, which that kind of thing can really kill your desire to set something like this up. You don't have to do that here. It's all done for you. And Unity works cross-platform, currently with Android, of course, iOS, Windows, and Mac. You can do a lot of really cool things with Unity. Just to kind of name a few here, stream your video and music collections on demand. You can even access iTunes music on your Android device, which is very nice. Access all of your photos on all your computers, including Lightroom catalogs and Apple photo libraries. You can post photos that are stored on your computer directly to Instagram. Access documents across multiple computers while you're out and on the go. Basically, it's all about unifying all of your content across your computers into one single organized menu inside the Unity app. So it just gives you access to all that media that you have in one single place. Search all the content across your computers at one time and download any of that media to your mobile device for unlimited offline access. And by the way, storage on devices is hard to come by sometimes, so you can keep those large files off of your phone, but you still kind of have access to those when you need them. It's free. That's probably the biggest point to throw out there. It's absolutely free. So connect your devices with Unity. Just install Unity on your computers, then download the Unity mobile app. You can do this by going to getunity.com/AAA. You can download Unity for free there and get unlimited access to all your stuff while you're out on the go. That's getunity.com/AAA. And we thank Unity for their support of All About Android. All right, we've got I've been waiting for this hardware section, so let's jump right into it.
That's it. I've been waiting a week. At least a week plus.
Did you turn this on?
I did not. We said we'd wait till the show started.
All right.
Don't accuse me of turning the phone on, Flo.
What was it on?
Well, there was a blinking light, and I didn't understand why. Also, hi. We're talking about the ACC-10 right now.
There we go. That's what we needed.
Sorry for the delay on this, y'all. But here's the ACC-10. This is actually my first time holding it.
So you just got it.
Well, it's been in our office. It was reviewed.
I'm missing the low screen. Hold it to the front. Look at that. It was green, and it was like the Android thing. I love load screens, by the way. I love load screens.
It's not set up. So, but we're going to
I will say that before the show started, as Flo sets up the phone, before the show started, when Flo took out the many phones out of her bag, she handed me the HTC 10, and my first reaction was, oh, this is nice.
It is like, nice
as a piece of hardware, it's a weird ratio of materials that the phone is made with, with weight.
Oh, yeah.
With
solid body.
Yeah, like hand feel. Like phone feel. Yep. It's like mouth feel.
I hate the word hand feel, it's the way that you describe
it.
Yes.
It's a hand feel. Yes, there it is.
And here's Sense.
It is a very nice hand feel phone. There
you go. I have also, for comparison purposes, brought the other flagships.
Is this out yet? Is the HTC 10 out yet?
Yes, I believe it's out.
Because my sister is on an 8, and she needs to upgrade. I was going to tell her to go LG 4. LG G4. But I might tell her this now.
Yeah, so it's releasing at the beginning of May, from what I understand. Yeah. I bought it. I bought
you
one
just,
of these.
Is there a phone you don't buy? You well, buy a lot I mean, of phones.
Okay, I know. When I say that,
kidding.
It's...
I'm joking.
You buy it for work. So I should be getting one. No, I don't want a fingerprint sensor.
Set up the fingerprint sensor so Flo can never use it.
Ha-ha. I'm going to memorize my fingerprint.
Please don't do that.
So anyways, as far as I know, it ships like in a couple of days.
It's very nice.
It's very nice. The black color, I think, looks a lot better than the silver one is the one that it comes in.
Oh, really?
Aluminum or...
I mean, this does look really nice. I wonder if it scratches over time.
I think it looks like a Batman phone, like a phone that Batman would wield.
That's a very good description. With the edges and everything. Yeah, it really does. It looks like a bat phone.
Yeah.
It
does. I think Sense has been pared down to the point where it's... You know, there was a time there where it was kind of insufferable, and that was on the last phone. The phone before that, the M8, Sense was totally fine. And then for some reason, HTC kind of flubbed it up a little bit. It's okay. We got to try new things. But I think this is the best iteration we have thus far. The camera is vastly improved. People are very happy. Reviewers are very happy. I have not reviewed this phone, but I will be doing a massive camera shootout between it, the GS7, and the G5 in the coming weeks.
I don't know what it did. Did it take it?
Ron and Jason just took a selfie.
that is the worst selfie ever.
It's not also a good interesting
to note.
My
neck. It's awful.
What are you talking about? Look at my neck. It's made of rubber.
You two are so excited over this phone. More excited over this phone than you were the last two phones that I brought in.
I like
it. What was the last two phones?
Well, the G5 and the GS7s. I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're pro Samsung. I'm not.
Oh, and, brother.
And the G5, we talked about the G5 so much over a month. Sam,
we did.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, it probably didn't deserve it.
No. Well, now we know that.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know that.
We didn't know that until. But here it is. The HTC 10. Now, let's see the marketing effort that'll be behind it.
It does the thing that the Galaxy S7 does that I think is kind of at least one Achilles heel.
Oh, the little bubbly.
Which is the wraparound glass front.
Oh.
Which means that the bezel is set behind the glass, not in front of it. Which is a nice aesthetic touch on phones. It feels really nice and very ergonomic.
Everybody's got
soft.
It.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm telling you, just all it has to do is land...
Wrong way.
Kind of on the corner, and that sucker's going to crack.
Which is why I carry them in a Tom Bin sleeve, so that they are...
Yeah.
Actually, this guy I've been carrying in bubble wrap, just because there's a bubble wrap sleeve that I have for it. But that'll keep it nice and cool. So, the HTC 10.
That's very... I like it. I like this phone.
Nice, it's a very nice feel.
I like it.
And it's a good size, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's... That's a pretty solid
5.2-inch screen, Snapdragon 820.
I feel like 5.2 right around there is kind of the sweet spot right now.
Yeah. Yep.
Big enough to feel like you've got some extra kind of space, small enough that you don't feel like, you know, your hand isn't large enough to control the things on the screen.
12-megapixel camera on the rear, 5-megapixel camera on the front, both of them... both of them have aperture of f1.8, which is nice. That means it'll be good in different low light situations, really good to use at the bar. OIS on both front and back, which is awesome. They have OIS, optical image stabilization.
Wow. OIS,
which is awesome.
Help us on this picture though, Ron.
It couldn't. Why would you do that? Why?
I don't know.
Delete that. Don't let Flo go home with that picture.
You're right.
Yeah, my God.
I would do things. Delete the device copy.
Delete. It never happened. Yeah. It never happened.
It's too bad I didn't set up the phone beforehand so I could have it back up to Google Photos.
Better. Yeah. That's handsome. I'm sorry. That's a handsome photo.
So I wonder, you know, we don't have two different phones to choose from like the Samsung devices. You know, we don't have a 5.2-inch and a 5.7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just a 5.2-er. So I think HTC is going to stick with this size. I don't imagine that they're going to sprinkle us with as many phone devices, just considering
their business. Need to focus.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what they're doing with this, although I'm sure we'll see other iterations come out over time. But I like this. It's a night. They did this time,
actually change things. You know, it felt like the last.
Imagine if they did
phone
this last
did,
year.
Really felt like the phone they did prior.
Imagine if
really,
they did this
the
last
nine,
year.
The nine, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the nine felt just like a slightly updated 8 with a lot of software changes.
Yeah.
This is a true iteration. Happy. If they came out with this last year, I think they would have been in a much better position. Yeah.
Well, I think they're okay coming out with it this year, too. I don't think they're too late.
Yeah. HTC is more of an even number phone. It's like Star Trek movies.
That's true.
It's like you want to go after, you want to get the even number HTC phone.
Those are my good years too. I always have good even numbered years and odd numbered.
Cool.
So if you want to do a quick overhead shot, Brian, if you don't mind, I can just show the different phones. So here it is compared to the Galaxy S7.
Okay.
Has nice little vibration, by the way, when you tap on this.
I love the haptic.
I like the look of the HTC.
But yeah, here is the GS7 next to it. Here is the G5 next to it. And I got to tell you, this thing feels really cheap.
Wow.
It kind of looks.
It does.
And it looks cheap in comparison. I mean, look at the backs. Like, Batman?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who does this remind you of?
Nexus 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like the back of the Nexus 6.
Yeah, okay. Nexus 6. Yeah. So those are your flagships for the year, y'all. Those are the three big flagships. The HTC 10. I'm trying to see if I can, like, fan it out. Here we go.
And which one is the flagship killer?
Okay.
I'm going to laugh at Brian. All right.
It's a good question.
Didn't work for OnePlus. It's not going to work for either of these guys. Right. We are all on the same page here for these three flagships.
We all vote HTC without using it or looking at it for more than 35 seconds. I vote HTC.
And you should know that, you could take that to the bank.
Let me tell you what's weird, though. I just noticed this. The power button is here in the middle.
Yes, yeah.
But then the volume button's on top
When you handed it to me earlier, I was hitting the volume button trying to turn it on, and then I was like, oh, the power button's below there.
It's very ridgy, though, so you know it's the power button.
I feel as if there should be uniform power button placement. I remember I had a problem with the power button on the Nexus 6P. Mm-hmm. I like on the Robin that the volume is on the other side, and it's only the power button on one side.
It keeps doing the little countdown thing, which didn't like.
Well, it's like a selfie camera.
See if we can do this. Cheese!
Did it work?
Hold on.
No.
The volume button can be used to capture photos or control zoom. Capture. Okay.
Capture.
Let's try this one more time.
All right.
Cheese! All right.
There you go.
Hey!
It's kind of blurry because I moved my hand.
Kind of blurry.
But it worked.
Optical image stabilization. Yeah. My.
So I'm going to take these.
Yeah, my OIS. Oh, that's good.
So I'm going to take these three phones out. We're going to do a full camera comparison in the coming weeks. It's going to take me a while because it is a lot of work. And, you know.
But right now, which one
right
do you like?
Now,
right now, you're probably HTC.
Right now, I'm totally into the design of the HTC.
Yeah,
I like it more than the. If you guys could only see the scratches that are on this GS7, I am just absolutely disappointed.
Wow, the display, right?
Look at this.
No.
It's scratched all around here. The display is scratched. Look at the back. This is just from, going in and out of, sleeves in my
can
purse.
Can you show it on the product shot?
Let's see if I can.
This is what happens.
You gotta
it's
kind of
hard to see.
Kind of,
if you can kind of see scratches
see that right
here.
There. Look at that. Flo, this is what happens. The ones you love hurt you the most.
That's true.
Yeah. We had an emailer on Tech News today. I think it was yesterday, who was saying all these people with the GS7 are cracking screens or getting kind of damages.
So
is it a product issue?
Look at all those scratches, y'all!
Oh my god, that would drive me crazy.
Look at this.
I don't know.
Look
if
at
it's
all
a
these scratches.
Issue, but
look at this bottom.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
WTF, mate? This is an $800 phone.
Yeah.
However much you'd pay for it, I don't know. Yeah. I'm assuming you would.
All right, so next to that impressive array of flagships, you have your old, worn, weathered Nexus 6P.
Listen, it's so worn, though, because I dropped it on the concrete. It's all
you're lucky that the display didn't shatter when you dropped it on the concrete.
I have this cool little thingy. I got my Nexus Live case.
So you got the Live case.
I did. It's nice. It's of the East Bay line, the BART East Bay line.
I like
and
it.
These are
it
the two
good.
Lines that I've ridden most of my life, which is the Pittsburgh Bay Point line and the Fremont line. Got to represent.
I know you're a BART fangirl.
Our fangirl is an understatement.
It's a love. It's a love hate relationship. Yeah. Recently.
Recently it's love hate relationship. It is so the live case, Brian. If you won't mind, I'm going to take.
You guys
to
talked
the
about
app.
This last week, right?
A little bit, But she didn't. Hadn't shipped yet. She had ordered it, but hadn't come in. It came in, and then I made fun of her.
Here we go.
I like the look of
so
it.
So the live case
nice.
Lets you.
It feels nice.
There's a little button on the back here. That is kind of invisible, but you can see it, and it's NFC enabled.
it's kind of invisible, but you can see it.
It's like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Literally not the definition of invisible.
Whatever.
But might be the definition of kind of invisible.
Whatever.
It almost looks like a logo. Like,
yeah, it looks like a little, logo. It's a little ridgy thingy, and it like so you know to put your
hand
there.
It's like the fingerprint, the fingerprint scanner logo, like the little.
Yeah, it looks like the fingerprint scanner logo exactly. Yeah. And then when you turn,
but it's actually a button.
It's a button, and you can set it up to do. So first of all, here's what the app lets you do. The live app lets you set a wallpaper. So it came with a wallpaper that matched this backing, but I'm like, heck no, I don't want that as my back. So what I did is I added a bunch of like gradient photos, and they just switch every day. I get a new photo, which is nice. So I always have like a different photo every day.
All right.
You can change how often the photo changes. You can intensify the blur if you want to, if it's like a really, you know, short image. Then you have the shortcut button, which is on the back, and it lets you switch the next wallpaper photo, open the camera, turn Wi-Fi on and off, launch an app, turn the flashlight on and off, or disable it. Now, the only bummer is that right now I have it set so that NFC only works when the phone is unlocked. And so I have it set up for this flashlight. And look how hard I have to press this thing.
No, I think we should take the wide shot to show her face grimacing
there we
as
go.
She's doing it.
Well, I just turned it on. I had to use my thumb to turn it on.
So it's a
so
button.
Let me try and turn it off.
So technically, it's a button. It's like a working, button in so much that if you press hard enough and almost break your phone, your flashlight
will
turn.
What they've downplayed in the marketing is that it's also a tie-in with Google Fit, because if you look at the number of muscles that she is using to press that button on and off, it is.
Oh, it's getting a little more buttony.
I think you're
it's
just
starting
getting,
to feel
stronger.
A little more buttony. Getting stronger.
Getting stronger. It's working. It's working to make you buff. It's a
turn
buff
off.
Button.
Darn it.
So I don't know if I would use that button if it was that difficult to use.
I don't use this button. This is insane.
Well, clearly.
I also don't know if, like I know it sounds like a great idea to add a button to your phone. But, I mean, we've seen this a million times.
But, like,
and I don't know if anyone.
If there should be a button.
It never was useful to me.
If there should be a button to your phone on the back of it, it should be in hardware.
Yeah.
Like, if this feels like a hack, it feels like, hey, we could do this. You know?
Well, especially because you're literally. It's a button in that it's an NFC thing that you're pushing. Close to the NFC
to
sensor.
Make contact.
I never have
so
to
like,
push that hard with NFC. Like,
so
this is ridiculous.
It is kind of strange.
I will say so I have gotten so many compliments on the case.
Yeah,
I think it's the coloring is really nice. You can customize it with a photo. This is a photo, but you can also do maps, like with Google Maps, so your hometown. I am very satisfied with my purchase, I will say. I'm bummed that the button is
so
hard to push, but I don't care. I think it was like $39 that I'm looking up right now, and I apologize that I did not have that prepared beforehand for our listeners.
Your own live case designed by you.
$35. Yeah, for the photos or the places live case. It takes a while to ship. I was going to make my mother one for Mother's Day, but I think I'm just going to wait till her birthday, which is in June. So.
And get her a picture of a pug.
Actually, I was going to just do the most saccharine thing and just put my brother and I picture of us as kids.
Yeah. There we go.
That would Polaroid. Totally,
why do you assume she wants to see that on her phone every day?
Because my mother has a picture of her and my dad on her phone. It's like the wallpaper.
Maybe she wants one of her and your dad.
She sees him every day.
Easy.
Whatever.
Go into your archives, find an awkward family photo, and put that onto the case.
And
then
I am
forever from that point on, she has to explain to people what they're looking at. Cool. I like the look of it. I do not care for the button, but whatever.
Right. Also, I don't want to drop this because I spent like so much money on
it.
I don't want to drop it because it looks so nice. Time out.
How much did you spend on the case?
$35. Well, $39 after like shipping.
How much is the phone? $600, $400, $500, $600. I don't want to drop this to hurt the case that I just spent $30 on.
Yeah, but you guys should see how dented this phone is.
My $500 phone.
I mean, whatevs.
No one ever wants to drop their phone ever.
Sure, yes. Agreed.
All right, email.
Oh, right, wait.
Well, we got one more story.
We have one more thing.
We got watch bands.
Oh.
You just blew right past the watch bands.
Oh, sorry.
We're really eager to talk about the email. I'm just going to show you really quickly. Google has released today its new Mode watch bands.
Yeah, nice.
It is a free for all manufacturers to use blueprint. So you can, if you're a manufacturer of watch bands and you want to make watch bands for the Android Wear, you can. They come in four different sizes, 16, 18, 20, and 22. And you can buy them corresponding to the Android Wear watch that you have. They have a really neat clasping mechanism. Which, I mean, I could try and show you on camera, but this picture shows it a little bit better that we have showing right here. So basically, there's a little knob.
Sure.
A button. It's a clasp, actually. That's clasp, what I should call it. And it's so easy. Boop.
You just pull it and...
Look at that.
So there you go.
But...
The idea behind this is that you would buy more than one and, you know, stylish peoples, you would... Swap them out as you need to match your watch to your clothing. Mm-hmm. The only bummer is that the watch bands retail, I believe they start at $49 and $59, which is a lot of money. But
more than the case.
But you know what? I was talking to some of my watch yes. aficionado buddies because I'm not really a watch person.
That's a whole universe, by
and
the way. The watch
it's,
people.
An entire, yeah. it's an entire universe. Yeah. And that's actually not a bad price for watch bands, especially this is there's genuine Italian leather, which feels so much more premium than what you would get in the box with your Android Wear watch. If you're buying a Zen watch, let's say, or a Moto. I believe the Huawei might be a little more premium.
The Huawei watch band?
The Huawei watch band, yes. And there's a silicone one, which is supposed to be a little more athletic, a little more sporty, if that's your aesthetic. but yeah, just a new little thing from Google to try and beat Apple at its wearable game, because I feel like the only thing that's beating anybody at any wearable game is style.
Is it that's hard to beat Apple that's at the true. Wearable game? Considering the earnings that came out today, like I mean, I feel like no, I feel like nobody's winning the wearable game. I mean, that's the
That's probably true.
Apple
has.
I will say their commercials are a lot better.
More than,
right, but commercials don't equal sales. Clearly,
I agree, but they do. Yeah. You know, tell the consumer what's going on.
If you have TV, I haven't seen an Apple Watch commercial.
I've seen it on Hulu. I see on Hulu. So clearly.
That's the second time now we've been like, oh, if you have TV, and then you're
like I don't have Hulu. I pay $7 a month for TV. I mean.
Well, we got an email.
Yes.
We got an email that I've been dying to talk about, and coincidentally enough, it comes from Ronnie D.
Oh.
Not me, but another Ron. Ronnie D writes in and says, I have a great idea for an app. I'm sure everybody says that. The reason I'm writing this is because after looking into creating an app, I find myself filled with anxiety that I think about the possibility of A, getting my idea stolen before I get started, and B, taking too long and having the app come out already. What I really need is someone who knows how to get things going, and that's someone to be trustworthy. I realize that it's probably a long shot, but I honestly have very little experience with this, aside from playing with Eclipse for a few hours a few years ago. My question is, do you have any advice on some of the best practices or tips on steps to take? I really think this will take off in a big way. So far, I have a diagram for UI transitions, basic terms and conditions for use of services, design that will complement material, a very solid service that will tap into an already established user base of millions of people.
That's important.
That's very important. and he likes the show and blah, blah, blah. All right, Ronnie. Well, here's the deal. Number one, and I speak from this with a lot of experience. I have a long list.
I'm happy you're here because I read this and I was like, this is a great email. Yeah. I have no idea what to tell him.
I have a long trail of tears behind me of app ideas that I'm like, this is the one. And then I worked for years and years and years, and unfortunately I didn't quite get to the finish line. But a lot of my friends have, and I've actually worked at a lot of companies that have, and I've done a lot of stuff. And let me tell you, the things you're worried about, getting your idea stolen and then taking too long and having the app come out already, those are two things you need to stop worrying about. Because here's the thing is that number one, you're not making Facebook, you're not making Twitter, you're not making Google. All that's done. So that ship has sailed. Number two, if you have a very good idea and there is another app out there that's doing the same thing as you, that's great. That is something that investors and business people call validating an idea. If you're the only person in the world and you're like, I got this great idea to do this sort of thing and no one else has thought about it, then it's like, is there really a need for it? But when there's other apps out there that are doing either similar thing, maybe not exactly the same thing or similar things or somewhat close to it, that validates your idea and actually gives you more value. And now your challenge isn't to beat them, rather it's to do it better than them.
because the app that wins, is, as we've all seen, is the one with the best UI, the best functionality, experience, the best content, all that sort of stuff. So that's what you should be more worried about. It's great that you've done all this work. My advice, which Jason, you and I have talked a lot about, whenever you have an idea for an application, get it down on paper. Get whatever you can, whether it's in the form of written requirements or wireframes or designs or anything like that. Just make it tangible. Get it out of your head and onto a physical thing. And then it sounds like you just need to find someone to work with, which unfortunately that is the hardest part. Depending on your resources, if you've got some money to throw around, you can go to Elance, or there's a whole bunch of other places where you can find developers who are looking for work, where you're just hiring someone to build against your vision. You go into an agreement with them so that, you know, non-disclosure and all that sort of stuff, so that you are protected, so it's not some freelancer who's going to rip you off. Or you try to find a technical co-founder. I don't know, it didn't mention where you're located, but meetup.com is a great resource for finding local tech meetups and tech gatherings of people. There are developers out there who are looking for people with ideas. There are developers who are like, I know how to code, I just need something, some point me in the right direction. I know back when I lived in New York 10 years ago, I was there for the beginning of the New York Tech Meetup, which has become one of the biggest ones in the country. Gina's talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, and even now probably, it was just like afterwards, people are hanging out getting drinks, and partners are founded there, and they went off and made apps and did stuff together. So that's, I think, all you got to do is just find someone to work with. Like you said, trustworthy is a big thing. Check their other work, see what else they've done, make sure they can ship. That's, in my experience, that's the biggest thing. You might not have the best coder working with you, but if he ships code, that's better than the best coder who never ships anything.
Yeah, right.
So, and then just stick with it. Don't give up. Accept, you know, kind of failure. If you've got a good idea, make it happen. And do whatever you got to do to make that happen. So
I have to imagine that the scariest part, at least for me in doing this, would be how do I find someone to work with yet not run the risk of them kind of taking that idea.
Well, that's what's called a contract.
I suppose at that point you have to kind of get into the world of contract.
Yeah, and I would say there you would either I would say if you can't afford it, get a lawyer, or I don't know, some LegalZoom, you know, like the other options to find out there. There are standard working agreements where it's like, hey, everything we do together is the product of me and my company, and I'm hiring you, or we're partnering. I mean, the thing is that, like, a lot of time my problem is that I don't have money to throw around. So what you do is you're offering equity. So you're saying, if you build this, I'll give you 50% of the company or 10% of the company or whatnot. Sometimes it's enough to motivate people and have them not screw you. Sometimes it's not. I think far more often than not, we worry about getting screwed and someone taking our idea and running with it. But the reality is the chance of that happening is so little. The big thing you need to be worried about is that person just never does anything, never ships anything, never writes any code for you, and you don't move anywhere. That's what happens more often than someone is ripping off your idea. It's just because whoever you're working with is not, it's not important to him, and so he doesn't get it done.
At what point do you cut ties then?
It's tough. It's like dating. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Because especially if you've invested all this time working with that person, kind of conveying the message, you know, the ideas around design, and they've got a certain
All right. So catalog. Do you want to hear a great story? Do you want to hear a fantastic, do we have time for a mini story? Back in late 2007, early 2008, myself and a couple of friends, a couple of coworkers of mine at Revision 3 at the time, I had a great idea. Remember Mux Tape?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Muxtape had come out. It was a great service where you could upload 10 MP3s and it would stream them via the web, and it was like a simple kind of mixtape. That came out and got shut down, and we were all bummed because I loved making mixes and all
that. Yeah, it was a cool service.
I laid out we came up with an idea. I did most of the architecture idea for it, but was that it would be great if there was a service. Listen, I've got all these gigs of MP3s. If I could upload them up to the cloud, which hadn't been defined yet, this is 08, right? If we can upload them to a server and then have the server match the length and whatever, and just keep a library of music, and then know what music you've uploaded. You validated your ownership by uploading it, and now you have a library of MP3s that you can access anywhere via the web.
Mm-hmm.
That was the idea in 2008. And we got a developer who did a brief UI and then started playing World of Warcraft and never got anything else done. And then Apple bought Lala. Spotify came out, RDO came out, all this stuff came out, and watched the entire thing go. Now, what's funny is at the same time, we got advice from a lawyer friend of ours who said, avoid music startups at all costs.
Yeah, right.
Because you won't survive the legal fees. And so the combination of World of Warcraft and that legal advice sunk the whole project. But it was the
World of Warcraft!
Thanks a lot, Blizzard.
It was 100% the right idea at the right time. Like, it was like if we had just done 4 months worth of work, maybe could have sold it, like something could have happened.
Uh-huh.
Nothing happened. So
Oh, it'll happen again. You'll get another right idea at the right time.
I'm just getting younger, right? That's fine. Yeah. But I mean, your biggest challenge is going to be time and resources. I mean, that's the thing. It's like finding someone who has the time to give you to build your vision. But if you can find that, hold on to them, treat them well, and you make a good product, and you can be a success. I mean, that's the story.
Ron was the right person to answer that question.
That was awesome.
Yeah, the experience of my failures. There you go. The Ron Richards story.
Maybe you can take Ron's failures and turn it into something
true
positive.
True Hollywood story.
Yeah, there it is.
This is when Ron Richards hit rock bottom. World of Warcraft.
Now, the irony is that 2 years before that, I played World of Warcraft for a year and got divorced. So there you go.
But wow, World of Warcraft is just
ruining your life. I got
dumped
in World of Warcraft, too.
So there you go.
Yeah,
we're born
World
on the same
Warcraft
day.
Ruins
so.
Lives.
Just seriously, yeah. Blizzard, stop with that already.
All right. Speaking of apps, I mean, it's kind of an app, World of Warcraft. It's a game, but we're going to talk about apps. So let's do that. Apps.
Let's do some apps. Google really likes to talk about numbers, but yeah. So apparently. We've got millions of apps, over millions of Android apps could be heading to Chrome OS. Clues are starting to appear that point out that we might be seeing Chrome OS that brings the Google Play Store inside of it, allowing you to access Android apps and run them in Chrome OS. For some users, the settings page appears at setup and then disappears immediately, shown as saying choose from over a million apps and games on Google Play to install and use on your Chromebook. Could this be a little bit of a leak pre-Google I.O.? Is this a Google I.O. announcement?
I have to imagine this is
these are the sessions that have not been posted yet.
Yeah, right. So this brings up a lot of questions, and how can this happen? I mean, first off, it's important to note that the app runtime for Chrome came out in 2014, and that was the first way to bring Android over to Chrome OS and was available to certain developers. And then last year, the app runtime for Chrome, or known as ARC, got Google Play Services support. So now it's expanding what it can do.
Working on it this whole time.
Yeah, and so now the question is the Chrome Web Store going to go away in favor of the Google Play Store?
God, I wouldn't be surprised. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Especially as kind of both of those efforts lines blur further and further. It makes sense to have one store. I guess the Chrome Web Store hasn't been getting really any updates either.
It's like Google Voice. It's
existing, but it's just kind of hanging out, watching all of its friends get, you know, taken out for drinks every night. And it's just like hanging out at home on the couch.
That's okay if he wants to hang out at home on the couch. Why should that matter? I mean,
I think in this case, the Chrome Web Store wants to go out for drinks.
Judge what he wants to do on his Saturday night.
Chrome Web Store really wants to go out for
really
drinks.
He worked really hard
instead,
that week.
It stays home
helping
drinking by
block
itself.
Your ads with ad blocker.
Thank you, Brian. So, but what I thought was great was that over on Computer World, our good friend J.R. Raphael wrote a great article about the. We're all pointing out to this is the inevitable merger. They're going to merge Android and Chrome OS. And all this sort of stuff. And JR has a great observation that maybe this has been the plan all along, and they've been slowly inching it along to this merger, but it's not the kind of merger that we're thinking of. I mean, subtle things like using the same font and adopting material design in Chrome OS and things like that.
You could just be streamlining it.
Exactly. And therefore looking from the front end to be unified.
I think that's great. Let's do it. That's great. We should have done that anyway because there's such a weird design disconnect between what's going on with Chrome OS and what's going on with Android. And quite frankly, I love the way Android looks these days, and I would love to have that kind of blown up for me.
Sure. So of the three of us, you're the only Chrome OS active user. Do you feel that design gap? I mean, do you find yourself using this going, I really wish this was Material?
I don't know. I mean, I like Material. Right. And I'm sure if and when, because I kind of figured at some point there would be some sort of materialization of Chrome OS. Mm-hmm. So sure, I welcome it. It's not something that I feel like I have to have. Right. Absolutely. You know, it'll be nice. Bringing Android apps into the Chrome OS experience, I wonder how much I'd actually use that, to be honest. But nice to have it.
Because you got to wonder, would you use... I mean, what's the difference between Evernote...
Using an Evernote Chrome extension... or a Chrome app, or a web app versus using an Android app. Exactly.
Like, trying to think, what is the Android...
That might just get confusing.
The dang appification of everything, really, because we don't need apps. That's the thing, is that we don't need... I mean, like, you... Because... so many apps are just HTML5 running in an Android wrapper. The vision of the web, whatever, 10 years ago, the vision of all this was that everything is running off the web and it just is on the screen and it's responsive and it's all, you know, and so I don't know. I just don't know how we get back to that because I feel like that's a more streamlined kind of thing. But then there's something about that app interaction that you don't get from a web app, you know, that's weird. But that gap is getting smaller, and that's
Google's vision is to make that gap so
polymer
narrow.
Or what is that?
Yeah, polymer.
Yeah, polymer. Mm-hmm. See, I know stuff.
So that, yeah.
Got another laugh from Brian.
Yeah, I know. Every once in a while, you get a little sneaky laugh.
That tells you that he's. Brian.
Yeah, you're on fire tonight, Ron.
That tells you that Brian's paying attention. He's
exactly,
not.
Yeah,
he's not updating his status or playing World of Warcraft or something.
Actually, he usually plays Pokemon.
That's true.
Did you ever finish Red?
No, not yet. Okay. Haven't gotten to the Elite Four. Still working on it. That game is grindy.
If you need some support during that.
Cut back to the World of Warcraft video?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, it's language that's lost on me. I don't even know what you guys just said. That's very confusing to me.
Just remember the Michael Jackson arcade game. Okay. And how much time we sunk into that. Same thing.
I remember.
That was a good game. I played that at Arcade Expo.
I'll never forget.
At Arcade Expo 2.0, I played that actual cabinet, Moonwalker game.
It's fun.
It's, yeah, sure.
Real quick here, Phoenix, the popular Twitter app.
This is so infuriating.
In the continuing story
saga
of how
Twitter not appreciating third-party developers. Yeah. Sorry, this is your news.
Yeah, come on, that's Jack. Okay. come on, at Jack. Why don't we fix this? You're fixing everything else about Twitter. Why don't we get rid of this?
Well, hey, was
get rid
your
of
business...
this and also help women feel safer on the web.
Well, what are we getting rid of?
Was your business better when third-party developers were creating apps for you and there were no restrictions? I don't know. I'm just saying maybe things were a little bit better. I'm not saying that's the reason why you're not doing so hot now, but it might not hurt because Phoenix... very popular Twitter app just got basically pulled from the Play Store because it reached its token limit. Twitter has certain amount of tokens. I think it's 100,000 tokens
for
users that it allows third-party developers to use. So it's still allowing third-party developers to create apps that tap into the service. It's just they can only they're capped at how many users maximum can actually use that app. And when you hit it, that's it.
You're done. Like once you hit 100,000 miles on your car, like that's it. It's done. It's finito.
Yep. Pretty much.
You know, this is just an antiquated thing that Twitter needs to get rid of. I'm hoping that now that they actually have like Android developer evangelists hired there, that maybe that'll help.
I mean, Joaquim
Verges.
I mean, he's there. I mean, I don't know how much pull he would have inside Twitter for that, but I have to imagine that he's very supportive of the developer angle because that's kind of where he came from.
You've got to imagine though what the honey-do list for Twitter is right now. Okay, how are we going to fix this?
And how are we going to make sure we don't go out of business?
And so, like, where does this fall on that? I think, I'm not surprised.
So it spells a bigger issue with Twitter and that they still have not figured out how to freaking monetize.
Yeah.
Which is not our problem or the third-party developers, so quit punishing them. And anyway, why don't you just give them a freaking API so they can put your ads in it?
Yeah.
Then you
agreed.
It's then everybody's fine, and you can support third-party developers. This is ridiculous. We've been talking about this since like 2011, 2012. Yep. This stuff's like, come on, guys, get with the game.
Silly Twitter.
Yeah,
get with the game.
You used to be the belle of the ball.
You know who is the belle of the ball these days?
Who?
Inbox by Gmail.
Is it?
That's the belle of my ball.
Okay, well, Ron doesn't agree, but is anybody surprised?
I mean, I like Inbox, but the
Bell. Inbox has gotten a couple new, interesting little featurettes that have made it very fun for me and not for Ron.
I like the changes.
The new changes include...
It's just Bell of the Ball is quite the title to bestow on an app.
Listen, I'm really trying with my transitions
here. I know. I'm sorry.
You're not instilling confidence in me right
Inbox.
Now. Empower me, Ron. Empower me.
Bell of the ball. I'm waiting in line to dance.
Yay.
Cha-cha de Gregorio.
So, yes, we've got a couple new featurettes. We've got new streamlined events, which will look up events in your inbox, and it edits the view to make them stand out to you, and it's already been doing this for me.
Yeah.
So I know I have a yoga day tomorrow. Also, it has glanceable newsletters, which takes the digest emails and reformats them so they're easier to glance at and read, which I've also been seeing with some of my news, my pocket newsletter now appears this way.
Yeah, I get a product hunt email and, that gets all reformatted.
Yeah,
and
which is nice, by the way, because I do use my inbox as a newsletter repository because for some reason I still subscribe to newsletters, like Twit's newsletter, which comes to your inbox every Sunday.
Look at Flo Schillen. Newsletters are huge, by the way, right now.
I like them.
No, like I was just, the latest issue of Wired has an article about the resurgence of newsletters. Yeah. Like the Skim has got like 1.5 million, subscribers. Like newsletters are like a big deal now because people want to sit down with their email. Like email is more intimate and the newsletter is more of, and it's like, it's curated and it's like, I subscribe to The Guardian.
Yeah. I mean, we're not talking,
Dave Pell's, what is that? Next Draft. That's a really good newsletter. Sign up for that one.
I'll check it out.
But the thing is, these newsletters, they aren't just like a bunch of links. It's like there's actual content in them. So it's cool that Inbox is kind of embracing that trend. So,
And lastly, you can now use your Inbox by Gmail as a sort of read it later app. You can now save links that you find interesting, which is just basically spelling out that Google's got more on the horizon for Inbox than we think. It's not just an email app, which might explain why Gmail still exists alongside Inbox.
I feel like Inbox, I feel like Gmail, like for the millions and billions of people with Gmail that are using a Google Mail account, Gmail is the de facto.
It's millions and billions of spam accounts.
Right, exactly. But if you are a little more deeper into the email experience, like we might be, Inbox is a bit more, like Inbox probably isn't for everybody, but for the people who know what they're doing, it's a hard app. I love it.
Sometimes if I'm having a bad day, I'll just go to my purchases and I'll look at like things that are on their way to me. And I'm like, oh, I have a dress on its way to me. I have something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm pretty big into Inbox right now. Ever since I was able to actually achieve pretty much Inbox Zero in
work email.
I did that and I've been able to more or less maintain it.
Breaks my heart. I mean, I guess I use Inbox. Oh, this is a whole other email topic because I'm still mourning the loss of Mailbox.
I know.
And I've been using on OS X on the desktop, I'm using Polymail, which is really nice, but they just do it an iOS app. They didn't do an Android app because that's the whole platform wars. And so, like, I kind of want the consistency. And I could just make Inbox a web. They would go back to a web app. I could just make it a shortcut and make it an app.
Yeah,
yeah. So I should do that.
Anyway. So what do you say we get busy in the arena and in battle or something?
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Still love that. The inflection on the R, not the arena. The Spanish R roll. All right, so Wade County is back with this. Before we get to we should do last week's results, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last week's Flo gets a win with a racer map, dominated, in fact. And coming in second was my app, which was Droid ID, which I thought was going to do better. I don't know, maybe because I flubbed the demo. And then our good friend Mark's game called OK, slightly lost to me for third place. So that gives Flo 3 wins on the year, and she's tied with the guests in last place with 3 wins. I've got 4 wins.
But you're tied.
Help me get up there, guys. I'm trying to find apps.
Yep. I've got 4 wins, and Jason is still leading with 6 wins. So despite an opportunity to close the gap between Jason and us, you did, but I didn't. So, yeah. So Jason didn't win. I don't know where I'm going with this. Jason wasn't here, so he couldn't win, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right. That's right.
So therefore said you go first.
All right.
The arena it really messes with your mind.
It really does.
And your relationships.
Does it? Jesus.
Good. We'll talk about this after the show.
I know. Yeah. It's supposed to be fun.
I'll see you in therapy tomorrow.
This is an app by an indie developer. I'm pretty sure that whoever created this created it just kind of like on a whim to play around with it. Between 100 and 500 installs, so very low install count on it. It's called Face Jacker. Not sure I care for the name.
I was going to say something about that, but I did not.
It's okay. I'm just getting that part out of the way. Facejacker, the name, don't care for it so much. Anyway.
I was going to say, I saw this morning, and I was like, oh, Jason loves these apps. You love these apps.
I do. I have a lot of fun with
it. Despite the name.
Okay, so I've played with Masquerade, which Facebook bought recently, and it allows you to basically, wear a mask of somebody else's face in real time.
I always kind of felt like it would be nice to be
so
able
to... So it was similar to the Snapchat video filters.
Yes, where they but, can, you know, they're predetermined. So they choose. So they would find something like Donald Trump face. Or
inappropriate Bob Marley.
Yeah, but that's Snapchat. That's different. Yeah. That's different. So they would do that. They wouldn't let you necessarily pick the image that you're masking with. And so this independent developer just kind of took... What did he take? He took the face... some face landmark data. It's basically, it's a large app. It's like 72 megs.
Ooh.
He baked all of his data in there.
It's also memory jacker.
Possibly so.
Good one, Ryan.
Yeah, good. That was
awesome. Ryan didn't laugh, though. So it doesn't flow laugh, but it doesn't not Ryan.
So. No ads, no in-app purchases. I'm pretty sure he just kind of did it because he was playing around or whatever. Yeah. A good kind of way to show off the technology. But what it allows you to do is... you can create a mask of your own and then import them to kind of...
Do me.
So let's see here. It's not...
Oh, this is horrifying. This is horrifying. No.
Oh my God. Jason looks so great as me.
There we go. There I am.
You look amazing as me.
Let's see here. What else do we have?
I don't like these apps. No. Give me back my face. Don't do that.
I just stole Ron's face.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see here. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'll be back.
It's working really well in this lighting.
You look like the governor.
His lighting is like really friendly for you.
Here's the problem with
Leo.
Nice. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with this app. It's unnatural and it's wrong.
It is. Lumberg.
Nice.
Ooh, they got the glasses on too. That's awesome.
I'm Lumberg. Let's see here. And I'm sorry, if this is what he just kind of whipped together just because it was fun, Brian.
What? Where'd you get that?
Google Images, of course. And finally, a Padre.
Oh, you got cool Padre glasses. I love it.
This one didn't work out so hot because it was a picture of Padre kind of far away, so it's a little blurry when it blows it up. And then you can create these on the fly. So I'll go ahead... and let's see here. How do I do this camera? So create mask from gallery. It's a little, the UI can be kind of confusing here.
Like Snapchat.
yeah, probably so. Here, let's do the.
Snapchat UI is confusing.
There's no what UI. There's no UI.
It's just.
Okay. So I'm going to do you here.
I like the pose, Ron.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Oh, check it out.
Whoa. What? That's scary.
Wow.
I'm screenshotting that.
It was that easy. Take a picture of someone, and boom, I've got their face. Karen, come over
here. Come here, Karen. No.
She runs away.
You TD'd last week. You got to do this. Come on.
She runs away.
Come on, Kara. Come on.
She's okay. Working. All right. She's working. I won't push her into this. It would be a lot of fun, but it's okay. I understand.
All right. She's in.
Okay. Sit down. Let me... swap this around to the front. Okay.
Fine. I want to see it.
Okay.
Oh, really? He renders it pretty dang well.
It does.
Oh, God.
Wow.
We have the same size face.
All right. Anyways, I love these apps. I don't know. I can sit here and...
It looks like her brother.
All right, I'll finish the
yeah, do a flow.
Yeah, I got to do the flow. Got to go with the flow. Okay, I love
how
like
that was
it
intense.
Takes it and then wait a minute, what's happening? You know what? I got to do that again. It like took the picture and then registered my tap.
That's intense. That was like a queen face.
I don't know why it's not working.
It's too intense.
Okay. One more time. I promise, and then we'll move on because everybody's like, quit it.
Live demo, great.
I know. Okay, now we're getting it. So then I gotta...
Ah!
Oh, that's so creepy.
Wow.
That's so creepy.
Anyways, you can try on anybody's face with Face Jacker.
This is horrifying.
Hey, girl, let me jack your face.
First off, all of like the Snapchat face swap and all that sort of stuff, it's horrifying.
It's kind of getting a little outplayed, BTW.
And then they did the whole Bob Marley thing, and that was horrifying. And this is
horrifying. That was terrible.
It's horrifying. It's horrifying.
It is weird to look into like a live video feed and see something that's recognizable and then something that is absolutely not you. Anyways, it's a lot of fun.
Let us not forget the first face jacker, the TriCaster.
Looks like Gollum.
That was a rough one right there. Anyways, face jacker is free. No ads, no in-app purchases. It's just a lot of fun. And it's super low installs.
If you want to do it at home without Snapchat, you could just...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of fun.
Because if you really need to do this...
It's just fun. That's why.
Sometimes people drink. They want to do something fun.
Yeah.
So get an app like or this that everybody loves.
Sometimes you just sit there for hours doing it and you're not drinking.
Right. Because you're at work and that's what you get paid to do.
That's what you get paid to do.
Because you're high on life.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. Face Jacker. Questionable name. All right. So I'm up next. So I have a bit more boring app, but it's productive and it helps you manage your phone better. Actually, I was impressed because HTC actually released this app. It's called Boost Plus. The long formal name is Boost Plus Optimize Faster Safe. And what it is, let me adjust my brightness.
SEO.
It's an app.
I know.
It's an app that
safe is in there, so it must be safe.
Safe. It's an app that is basically specifically aimed at optimizing and keeping your phone kind of clear and running as smoothly as possible, et cetera, et cetera. It's in beta for any phone but an HTC. So HTC phones, it's a release. It works totally great, but they do say on their Google Play page that this is in beta for phones that aren't HTC. But I was running on the Robin and had no problem with it. I'll show you here. So what happens is that it analyzes your storage and it analyzes your memory to tell you how much you're using and how much is free or not. Now I played around with this on the Robin, but because the Robin is fairly new and I'm not too loaded up, and also the nature of the Robin, it didn't kind of make sense because I have a lot of space free. So I went into the vault and I got the old Nexus 5 out of the drawer and and installed it on here because this sucker has got no memory and is full, and I've got nothing. So I was like, let me see what Boost does for here. So now here I can see that I've got 95% of storage used and 53% of the memory. All right, that gives me a little more to work with here. So let's see. So if we go under Boost, what it allows us to do is it shows us all the apps that are running and how much memory they're taking up, how much you can clear. So as of right now, with all of my apps, I've got 585 meg that is being taken up in caches and temporary files and things like that. So if I just – you can select which ones you want to do it to. If you want to do it all of them, they're all pre-checked. If you don't want to, you know, do Google Backup Transport, you don't have to. All right. And then you hit that button, and it just clears out all that memory, and I just saved 488 meg of memory. So there you go. And you can turn it on to automatically do this to monitor your apps and always be cycling to keep it clean.
This isn't task killing. This is memory management.
No, this is memory management. Correct, yeah. So then specifically, though, within the apps, you can go through and manage your apps. It takes a while to scan through all of them. But not so much task killing, but just showing you how big of the footprint that they're taking up. And it's an easy way to install a lot of apps at once. I know other apps have done this. Actually, let me adjust my brightness again, so it's a little easier for you all to see there. There you go, for our viewers. There you go. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to clear off a bunch of space and you want to install 5 apps at a time instead of going one at a time. Now I can select a bunch and it will – I hit the wrong space. I can check off. And then I can trash them and I'll uninstall them all in the batch process, which is nice. Very dangerous, though. Be careful when you do that. So then clearing junk will analyze your entire phone for app installers, memory, temporary files, and add files. I thought this is really interesting. Now, I keep a pretty clean phone. But if you're the type that's installing APKs all the time, you load the APK on your device and then install it, you probably forget to go delete that APK. So the fact that it's specifically looking for APKs, I think, is really interesting. Also looking at ad files, whatever kind of files that are being left behind by advertisers and things like that. It's just a really an interesting look at the memory that is being used on your phone and how you can actually save – you can scrub it. And the little icon is a little scrubber, you know. So I thought that was interesting to clear out that junk that we might not even know exists. Then finally, what I thought was interesting, and for some reason this is the safe aspect, there's an ability to lock apps on your phone. So if you have an app, you gotta set up the permissions. So I'm gonna go into my settings and I'm going to allow usage access. And then now you can define a unlock pattern, right? And then you have to tell it when your birthday is. Flo, when's our birthday?
May 9th.
Right. So, and then now what I can do is I can lock, let's say, Disney GIF. Nobody should be using Disney GIF on my phone without permission. So no. I'm going to lock that. And then now if I go into my phone to use Disney GIF, it requires me to unlock it with the code. Why that's related to optimizing and keeping track of your, junk and all stuff like that, I don't know. But it's a neat little function in case you ever wanted it. All under one roof. So it's called Boost Plus. It's free in the Google Play Store. And it's from HTC. So it's, trustworthy in that regard. And it's nice to see them introducing tools that aren't proprietary, that are available for all Android users. I like that. So
I noticed that app looks a little bit like the storage marker on the Robin.
Interesting.
It has like that round, like shows you what's going on.
Yeah, the dial. UI
the dial.
Thing. Where's the? Let me get to that.
I'm just curious.
Where is that?
Sorry.
No.
Oh, it's in settings.
It's in settings.
Yeah.
Settings.
It should be under smart. Settings?
Smart storage.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Yeah. Well, that's a good visual way to show.
The circular dial to show storage is kind of a common design piece now. I'm barely using any of this, by the way. I'm still in that mode of, well, I can't download that because I don't have space. And like now, I have the space, and so now I should.
You have infinite space.
I might install what's the World of Warcraft card game? Hearthstone. I might install that because I never had room for Hearthstone before. Now I do.
And you could download the Pokemon the card game.
Be
if
careful.
You wanted to, and
be careful with that game. Though. Any productivity I ever had. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So there you go. It's called Boost Plus from HTC, free in the Google Play Store. Help you optimize your phone, and there you go.
Fantastic.
Not as much fun as face jacking, but I'm sorry.
Yeah. So there.
I got another three laughs out of Brian.
You're on a roll.
I need a bell or something. All right, anyway. All right, Flo, it's your turn.
All right, what's up, Flo?
My app is also very utilitarian as well, but I've adopted it into my life because I've been getting a crap ton of spam callers. I mean, I'm getting people who are calling me at all times of the day constantly from the same, four numbers, and I just about had it because the do not call list is not working in my darn favor. And also,
do you have a Google Voice number?
I do, but I don't use that.
Oh, okay.
I only use it for voicemail.
Got it.
I've had the same number for, gosh.
Me too.
16, 17 years.
Me too,
so there's
since 1999.
No, yeah, there's no way. Anyway. This app
You can port Google Voice to a number. You can port a number to Google Voice now, right? Can't you, Jason?
Yeah, you can.
So you could take your existing
I don't know
number.
How wise it is to hop over to Google Voice.
Wait, okay, let's talk about my app.
Yeah, let's do that.
My app is called Should I Answer? And it's an icon of a cute little squid. And he's like, whoa, which number should I answer for you? It's quite adorable. I downloaded the app and I got it set up immediately. It was so cool. It is so cool. And it nicely runs in the background, so it's not at all invasive. It gives you a summary of... So what it will do is it will block call... It looks into its registry of numbers, and it will block calls if somebody... if you're getting a number from... Or, I'm sorry, if you're getting a call from a number that is known to be a bad number, just somebody who's calling with spam or what have you. I'm going to quickly show you my logs, but please don't look at the numbers. So here it'll show you really quickly.
we can't see your logs.
Yeah, this is.
We can't see your numbers.
I'm going to tell you what it does.
Here, I'll just show you this. So
should I call you?
No, because it's not going to really.
Oh, then it'll
work.
Show my number.
So over here, okay.
Yes. How can we expose as much of our personal information as possible to millions of people?
So I had this 500 number that was calling me constantly, and it was this spammer who kept asking me for donations for breast cancer research. And so I answered it one time, and I was like, "No, thank you, I'm not interested." But they kept calling me, and they would call me literally. They called me on 419 at 6 o'clock. They called me on 420 at 5:37. Then they called me at 420. On 420 at 6:42. So they would just constantly call me, and they would use the same line. Do you want to donate money to breast cancer research? And I got so annoyed because they would call me at the wrong times. This thing completely blocked them. And what I did is you can leave reviews for the numbers that are bothering you, and it'll add it to their registry. And then when that number calls you again, it'll immediately block it. Now you will get one ring. because that's the way the app works, like it'll ring once and then it'll immediately block it, but it will let you know that it blocked the number, which is awesome. You could also use the app to block people you don't want calling you.
If is that why you didn't want me to call you?
If you want to...
Because you preemptively blocked me?
No. I don't even have your number, actually. You can apply ratings to different phone numbers that you get. So if you are getting spam callers who are calling you constantly, you can just rate them and be like, this person is really bad. It'll also add them to the list.
Can I show these numbers, Flo? Or?
Yes, you can look over now.
Okay.
So these are the numbers that I've blocked. These are all jerk faces who keep calling me and bothering me.
Yeah.
One of those is my number. No, just kidding.
And you can see over here, this squid is looking very angry. And he's like, why'd you block me? That is because I blocked him. This squid down here is green. He's an okay number in the registry for should I answer, but I don't know who the heck this is, so I blocked him. Sorry, whoever that 916 number is. You can also set, like, different alerts to kind of, like, you know.
916 is Santa Clara, isn't it?
916 is Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Yeah. Santa Clara is 408. It'll show alerts for incoming calls. So, you know, it'll let you know if, like, somebody's calling you that has, like, a negative, neutral, whatever number. If it's unknown, obviously, can't really get help there. It shows you blocking. It will automatically block calls if you set it to from community negative rated numbers, or, you know, if you don't like people calling you, if they're not in your contacts, or hidden or foreign numbers, you can block those too. Cause I know sometimes spam callers will call from overseas and you'll think it's a relative if you have overseas relatives. And there's like a number of different settings, including system permissions, you know, whether you want to download reviews, if that's important to you. Overall, I am super happy with this app, and it's been blocking calls for me, and it's just been a godsend. The one thing is, it does live in your notification shade, which says protection is active. So it's kind of an annoying little thing, but
yeah,
it lets you know that it's working, it's running in the background,
right?
Which I kind of appreciate. Should I answer? Yes or no? Whatever you feel like. So should I answer?
Yeah, awesome. I wonder, can you proactively look numbers up in there?
From community rated or?
Well, yeah, to see what they're, because yes. I got Comcast.
Yes,
I actually busted Comcast. Yeah, all ones. I got a phone call. It was 1111111111. And I'm like, I'm not answering that. And it was Comcast trying to upsell me to something.
Oh, that's weird.
Can you believe that? So are they starting to use number hiding mechanisms?
That's messed up, though.
That is messed up.
They're doing that.
Think about that.
Just think about that.
Think about it.
The app is free if you want to download it. You know, block crazy ex-girlfriend and a bunch of spammers. You can do that. So.
Should I answer?
Oh, I guess an octopus, not a squid. You know.
It could go either way. He's like, I don't know. Should I answer?
With any of my eight hands.
I can answer eight phones at once.
But should I?
Should I? I don't know.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Best phone reviewer in all the land. He can write eight reviews at once because he can hold eight phones at once.
Wow, that's efficient. bit.ly/AAAshow263, I believe. For Facejacker, Boost Plus, or Should I Answer? With a question mark at the end. Place your vote. Let us know which is your favorite app this week's arena.
That did not render correctly, Brian.
I'll refresh.
We got three chuckles and a
There we go.
That just looks wrong.
I still need to replace that image. Yeah. It's the old logo. Whatever.
I like it.
Yeah. There we go. Should I answer with an early lead?
Yay.
50% to 25s on the other two apps. And we will check with it next week and see if you can close the gap a little bit more.
That would be nice.
And we'll keep Ron where he's at for the rest
of
the
year. I'm trying to actually pick, like...
Whoa. Yeah. That seemed like collusion.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen. That's it.
All right.
I think I had...
Sorry, I had this loaded up for Flo. She's getting stronger. Her apps are getting more powerful. That's right. Soon we'll be running in the waves, hugging each other.
This is what we call a callback, folks.
I got the flashlight on. It's off now.
Getting stronger. Sorry to derail.
It was good talking with the flashlight coming on, actually. I didn't like the face you were making, but I did like the light coming on and the last beat of the song. That was good.
Perfect.
That was good.
That could be, yes, you might want to have that armed for next week.
Oh, I will.
Flow
yeah.
wins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's on my long list of songs to always have ready. So,
okay,
yeah.
Good. I'm happy you're concerned with the really important things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent.
And World of Warcraft is running in the background.
And Pokemon. I know you have Pokemon back there, too.
So if I ever miss a Switch, you know why.
It's one of these things that I'm distracted
by. I know you have the Pokemon music queued up.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do.
Someone was talking about it.
Oh.
Totally not playing Pokemon back
like, for
here.
Instance, today on today's show, we didn't talk about the Pokemon Go footage. But that's okay. We're not going to talk about that.
We'll get to it.
We'll talk about it.
As long as you're not live streaming when you play Pokemon, we're okay.
I did that last night.
I know.
It's kind of a thing you do. So where can people follow the live streams that you're doing on Pokemon and, you know, other things that you do, like reviewing devices and writing articles and all that stuff?
Y'all can find me at PC World and greenbot.com, that's my day job, pays my bills. At night when I get home, I tweet a lot, I Snapchat, and I'm just playing around on Twitch from time to time. I still have to set up my page, though. I'm just figuring it out. And when I'm twitching, Jason's hanging out next to me. We're just twitching together.
Yep.
All these words Jason totally understands.
I do.
Twitch,
I get it.
You know,
I get
streaming.
It.
It's so video game streaming.
All of those words. What is a video game again? I don't.
Oh no,
actually I know what it is.
Did you learn math on an abacus?
Yes.
That one got Kara.
Ooh.
Yeah, that guy.
Who else
can we get? I'm sure there's someone in the kitchen that we can get. If we do, we know we've won pretty much. What about you, Ron?
All right, so you can go to about.me/RonXO where you can find links to Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Google Plus and all that fun stuff. But if you like comic books, go to ifanboy.com where every week we're talking about the week's comics that come out. But if you like comic books, TV or movie, now is a great time to go to ifanboy.com because we just reviewed Daredevil Season 2 finally after we all watched it. You can hear me actually lose it on the Batman v Superman podcast, and in a week and a half we're gonna have the Captain America Civil War podcast.
Yay!
And I've seen it already, so there you go. I like saying that, it annoys everyone, and then like, is it any good? I'm like, I'm not saying.
I can't say.
It's good.
It was one of my agreements to see it.
It was fun. Yeah, it's true. It was. But but the thing is, like, you're gonna go. Like, people are like, oh, is it good? I'm like, you're gonna go see it.
Wait, NDA you for movies?
No, okay. But I'm under my co-podcasters. If I say anything before the podcast,
they will murder you.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand.
Yeah, okay. So, the code.
Yeah.
Podcast code.
Yeah. It is. You know how it is.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Do we?
We'll talk to you about the code.
Yeah.
Brian, what about you?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter @cranky_hippo, but also I do a how-to show called Know How on Thursdays, and we have episodes that also air on Monday, but check that out. I think our most recent episode was from NAB, and it was all about podcasting, but it's hard to remember. That whole week is just a blur.
It
right
kind of
now.
Is a blur.
But it was a lot of fun. So.
You were like, well, you and Jammer B were the technical the TDs stage side at that thing the entire time. But I think you were kind of TDing the most of the time. I didn't never see you leave that seat.
I saw photos of him in that seat.
Yeah,
no, I never left that spot. But that was okay. The day went by really fast, so we had a lot of fun there.
It was a good time. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. I have music at yellowgoldmusic.com. I'm working on new music. I just don't have it up on the site, but I am totally working on stuff for a new album, and that's going really well. So hopefully someday I'll have like things to like share at some point. It's probably going to
be
a while.
Your roadies?
Yeah.
You on tour?
If I ever go on tour, which isn't going to happen, sure, yeah.
Let's just play pretend.
All right. Let's live in our fantasy world of going on world tour.
Yeah, I know.
That would actually be kind of fun. It is.
At least a European tour. Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm looking for an update.
I know it's gonna. I've got ideas. I don't know. I've got to do something.
Right.
I'm itching to change up this site a little bit with new stuff. So we'll see what I can do. But that's it for this show and for this week. Next week we've got awesomeness planned. We'll talk about that then. For now, leave us a voicemail 347 show AAA. Send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter. We are @AndroidShow. We have a Reddit.
I ain't gonna lie, we aren't really doing a whole lot with it, but it's twitaaa.reddit.com if you want to go check it out. Some people are throwing things in there. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA, and you can catch us live every Tuesday starting around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We hope to see you next week on another episode of All About Android. I'm sure that we will, right? Right?
Ooh. Threatening there.
Yeah, I did. This is serious. This is real life here.